Luke chapter 18. We move from the context of the last series of parables, but this is similar. It's not totally different, but Jesus in chapter 18 is specifically teaching his disciples. And the guidance here is for them to pray and not give up. That's how this passage is framed. The first parable, I'm sorry, we're not going to do it. The persistent widow. That wonderful illustration that Jesus gives us in Scripture of that persistent widow in front of that ornery judge, and the judge just finally gives in. And basically Jesus is saying, pray without ceasing. Keep praying. Keep praying. And when you're done, pray some more. Be persistent as we bring our prayers before the Lord. But this second one is unique. Because some of the disciples, it says in verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. That's an interesting piece of this parable that is unique here. We know that Jesus is with his disciples. He's not with a big crowd. And so this message is to the inner circle. I'd like to reread it one more time. And if you'd follow with me in your Bibles, Luke chapter 18, 9 to 13. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I'm putting a little drama to it. Could you tell? Like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Well, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Wow. What a guy. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. God have mercy on me, a sinner. So I ask you this morning, in the midst of our worship, who are you? Who are you this morning in worship? I mean, really, that's where we're at this morning, isn't it? We're in worship this morning. Worship of Almighty God. These two men were both in worship of God. So it seems to me right that since we're disciples, we're followers of Jesus Christ, we need to ask our questions, who are we? If we were to put ourselves smack dab in the middle of this parable, who are we? Are we thankful like the Pharisee? The Pharisee was thankful, right? That's good. In worship, good to be thankful. Yeah. There was a bit of a problem with his thankfulness, wasn't it? Well, I'm not an adulteress, I'm not a robber, I'm not this, and I'm not that, and thank goodness I'm not like that guy over there. It's thankful. That's good in worship, right? But this guy over here, he says, you know, have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. This is who I am, Lord. I lay my life before you, Lord. This is, you know, I just don't have it. I'm just not like him. The key verse comes after this. The key verse is verse 14. And this is from the words, the lips of Jesus. I tell you that this man, meaning that second man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I want you to go home this morning allowing worship to change you. I mean, really. We don't come here just to spend time in these pews, warm up these oak boards a little bit, you know, so they aren't have quite as big as gaps between them. That's not our purpose for being here, is it? But we come here so that worshiping Almighty God somehow changes our week. And the first way of having that happen is allowing God to somehow change us. To somehow change us. So the first lesson is, who are we? I mean, who are we? And I want you to take a little time. I want you to look down the pew, both directions. Are you thankful you're not like somebody in the pew next to you? Boy, that got a rustle really fast. I'm glad I'm not old like the person down the line. I'm glad I'm not too young, not a young person again and having to go through all that over again. Are you realizing, sitting in these pews this morning, that just like everybody else in this room, we're in need of God's grace? We all come here this morning with a basic need, just like that tax collector. I was struck. And maybe I've let it affect my ministry too much, but Billy Graham, I feel, was one of the steady leaders in the Christian community in the last 60, 70 years. And he's 40 years my senior. Well, 39 years my senior. One of the things that struck me in reading his biography, it actually was by someone else, it wasn't his autobiography, was the fact that one of the key pieces of Billy Graham was how he approached the pulpit. And he approached the pulpit often under a great deal of spiritual warfare and battle. And he's a man. I don't know whether you knew that Billy Graham was human. He was, yeah. You can go down to the museum and you can actually see some artifacts that are real, that proved that Billy Graham was a human being. And sometimes the spiritual warfare going to the pulpit was so acute that Billy found that laying prostrate flat on the ground and asking for God's mercy was the best way to empower him to come to the pulpit. And I think, Billy Graham, you know, he's got it all together. Why on earth should he have to go through that? Why on earth should he ask for God's mercy? Because he's this dude that put a lot of things together. And I think we need to come this morning realizing that part of the problem with the Pharisee is he thought he had it all done. He thought he had all of his ducks in a row, accomplished, even to the point of tithing that tenth of all he had. And I don't want to diss tithing, but that's not the end. In fact, we need to always be looking at the beginning. Like Billy Graham, he could have called himself a mighty man of God and decide that, well, I don't need to do that other stuff anymore. But a key piece of us worshiping God is realizing who God is, and in light of who He is, who we are. We have to admit that one of the struggles that we have in this day and time is not knowing who we are. And it gives gives way to a lot of uncertainty of how do I fit into this world around me? And a lot of us have low self-esteem because we don't realize that we are what God allowed His Son Jesus to die on the cross for. And some of us put numbers and our letters behind our names because we think that makes us feel a little bit more high and mighty. And I'm scared that if you're having that feeling, I try to make sure they don't ever stick those letters behind my name. And I don't like the REV, Revised Version. Is that revised? That they try to stick in front of my name sometimes? Although a Revised Version might be nice. But when we start attaching things to our names like that, what does it really do to us? How does it really change us? What I'm nudging us towards this morning is what I believe Jesus was trying to get through to His disciples. And the reason He called them into a smaller circle to share this parable is it's not about what you do as much as you know who you are in light of who God is. Because we're going to be sinners. I'm sorry, guys. I know we like to think we've got it done and it's behind us. But Satan is still going to work on us each and every day. And it doesn't matter how good you think you are or how much you think you're past it or how gray your hair is, Satan's going to continue working on us. Laying our lives before Him and asking for His mercy on our every moment is part of worship. It's part of acknowledging that, God, we need Your mercy. We realize that we're sinners. And we have one thing that wasn't there that day that Jesus told the parable. We know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to deliver us from our sins. And that shed blood loosed us from sin if we confess on Jesus. If we confess Jesus as our Lord. The second lesson is that this is for us. Jesus was speaking to His inner circle. That's why it's important for us to realize that we must come before Jesus and ask for His mercy. And you say, oh boy, you know, I got all my sins covered. You know, they're loosened away. But what I'm hearing more and more is that Satan is trying to get footholds into our lives as Christians. There are more and more distractions that are drawing away from the unity of the church. They're not great big things, really. In fact, they can be mighty small. It can be that I think I have a better opinion than you do. So why aren't you listening to me? Maybe I'll listen to you. And we allow those things to become footholds and get bigger and bigger and divide us. As we prepare for communion this coming Thursday night into week, part of our preparation needs to be, am I at peace with God, leaning on His mercy? Am I at peace with my neighbor? Have I worked out those things I need to be working on? Those are the questions we ask ourselves as we prepare for communion. I'm stressing the one asking for God for mercy. I sort of wonder what it felt like to be a disciple that day. I specifically got thinking, what would it have felt like to be James and John, you know, sons of thunder? They were wanting both sides. They were wanting to be flank Jesus in as He came to His kingdom, as He came into glory. I wonder if those were the guys that were looking down on the rest of the disciples, like Matthew, who just happened to be a tax collector. And as we think about those places where we need God's mercy in our lives, let us remind ourselves that there's nobody better than anybody else in this room. Really. There's no one better than anybody else in this room. We are all sinners in need of the mercy of Almighty God. And I am too. I've been struggling all week as to how to bring this time to a close. How to bring it together. One of the things that I thought of is we could maybe have a confession time. A time where if something's on your heart that you wanted to get out before the congregation, you could do so. But I wasn't quite there. So I would like for you to turn in your red hymnals. And if you really feel moved to come forward and speak something to the congregation, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to knock you down in the aisle. If that's something that's on your heart. There's a microphone up here. This microphone here. If you feel like you want to share something. Why doesn't this have that hymn? A page is in here somewhere. The red hymnal, number 40. Seven forty. I got two letters right, two numbers right. The red hymnal, number 740. What I want us to do is to take our time. And we're going to read this together as a congregation. And maybe it's not going to be pretty. Pretty is not what I'm headed for this morning. But folks, if you connect with these words, let this be your petition this morning, your prayer. Let us pray this prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against Thee in thought and word and deed, that we have not loved Thee with all of our heart and soul, with all of our mind and strength, with our neighbor as ourselves. We beseech Thee, O God, to be forgiving in what we have been, to help us to amend what we are, and by Thy mercy to direct what we shall be, so that the love and goodness may ever be first in our hearts, that we may always walk Thy commandments and ordinances blameless, follow unto life's end in the steps of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you have something that you want to share, come on up. And that's all right. Let us be mindful in these days of preparation for the time of communion. That it's one thing to accept God's mercy. It's another thing to live in it. Because living in God's mercy is a daily opportunity for us to lay our lives down fresh and new before our eternal God each and every day. Heavenly Father, as we go from this place this morning, may we take the peace that only is with You, Lord, with us. As we live in Your mercy, Lord, help us to be merciful. And may it change our daily worship. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.